Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden, along with Alex Talich. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We've got a special guest joining us on the line to kick off the show. We have former Green Bay Packers wide receiver Andre Thurman joining us. Mr. Thurman, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Very good. We appreciate you out in Arizona joining us for this early wake-up call. I know that can't be easy for you, so we appreciate it way over here in the Central Time Zone. But, Mr. Thurman, what I wanted to start off talking to you about is maybe this current Packers team, and I know you're doing some cool things with Thurmanetics, and we're going to get to that. But you as a wide receiver, you caught passes from both Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, at least in practice. Can you kind of compare and contrast those two for us?
Compare and contrast the two?
Yeah. What it's like catching passes from them, their style as quarterbacks.
I'll tell you, when I played with Aaron, you know, he was a rookie, so he was in his early stage of his career. There was. The only ball that he had a problem throwing was the back shoulder ball, which I think is something that Brett Favre mastered between him and Don Driver. And I think that experience sitting behind Brett allowed him to kind of pick up some of the tendencies and some of the good things that he does. And you can see it's evident now because he's such a great deep ball thrower that cornerbacks are starting to sit high on the receiver, so he's able to throw that back shoulder ball, and he's done well with throwing it.
That's certainly become one of the better parts of his game, I think, and it's interesting to hear that maybe that kind of developed from seeing Brett Favre. Where do you think Aaron Rodgers ranks today among the best quarterbacks in the game? You played with him when he was a rookie. How far has he come?
I would rank him top three. I really think he's a top three quarterback, and that's along the lines with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, but I put him right in that 1-2-3 area. I think Green Bay would have been a lot more dangerous had he torn his shoulder up last year, but he comes back from, you know, a 7-week injury and performs like he never missed a beat. So that just shows you how good and how polished and how long that he's come away. He's come.
I know you haven't played with any of the current Packers wide receivers on the roster, but as a former wide receiver yourself, just what are your impressions of guys like Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb, two of the Packers' better wide receivers right now?
I'll tell you what, Jordy Nelson has become a top-tier receiver. I believe he's a top 10, you know, top 15 type of receiver. He's a go-to receiver. He's become very good at his craft. And I think that him and Aaron Rodgers have connected just the way you're talking about, that back shoulder connection. And that's something that you develop on the field. That's something coaches rarely call. That's something that Aaron sees because of the DB and how he's playing. So I think they developed a nice chemistry between the two. Now, who I'm really impressed with and who I think that can be a difference maker in that Green Bay offense, that you can move around different positions. He can play running back as well. He's a special teams guy as well. Randall Cobb's health is going to be a big issue with Green Bay because he's that third down guy. So he's catching a lot of underneath balls and he's getting hit by some bigger guys. So if he can stay healthy 15 weeks and you know, get his 8 to 10 touches a game via running the ball, via catching the ball, I think it's going to be a big year. I think Green Bay's going to be hard to stop.
It's interesting that you bring that up with Randall Cobb because he enters the final year of his contract. Do you think he's going to be a candidate to receive maybe a big-time contract extension in the near future?
As a guy who's been somewhere along those lines, And it sounds like to me he's not really worried about the contract, and that's a good thing. I know he's got support from Aaron Rodgers, which is vital. So, I think that he just maintains and plays healthy and has a solid year. I think the contract probably will kind of play itself out.
We're talking to former Packers wide receiver Andre Thurman here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Friday morning, a game day for the Packers. They play their third preseason game against the Raiders tonight. Andre, the Packers drafted a wide receiver in the second round. His name's Davante Adams, and another in the seventh round, Jeff Janis. Now, I know you probably haven't seen a ton on these guys yet, but what I just wanted to do is get your opinion on how much do these guys have to learn, and how hard is it to contribute your rookie season in the NFL?
It's all sponging. It's all sponging.
It's all sponging.
You have to learn. You have to learn. And as soon as you feel like you have the game accomplished and have that position mastered or skilled, is when you're humbled. It's all mastering. And with being a rookie, a late round draft pick, you obviously have to be vital with the team and special teams as well. So making your strides. I know that's how I kind of made my strides. We were there when I was John Walker, Driver, Chapman. So we were loaded at receiver. We had receivers who can play. And where I fit in and where I squeeze in was special teams. You know, I took pride in special teams. I just took pride in playing. So for any of the younger guys, late round draft picks, it's very hard to make an initial impact. Very few do, but want to earn your keeps in special teams. You work hard in special teams. It fits you in the door and also prepares you to learn the position, whatever position, receiver position you're playing.
You were a kick returner during your time in Green Bay, Andre. Have you seen a difference in kickoffs since you did it in like 2004, 2005? And now with kickoffs moved up to the 35-yard line, how has that changed the game?
Well, you don't have very many returners. And guys nowadays, what I like about kick returners nowadays is that they feel, if you kick the ball 7-8 yards in the end zone, I still feel like I can return it past the 20. So if you can return it past the 20-yard line, then you're in better shape than you would be if they kicked it in the back of the end zone. And nowadays, some of these guys who are back deep kick returning, they have this 4.2, 4.3 breakaway speed. So if they get the opportunity 4 or 5 times a game to try to go kick return one back, they're going to do it. So it takes a little bit out of it. They're moving up to the 35-yard line. But I think that it's special just because of the fact that you have kick returners who feel like they can take it past the 20-yard line instead of letting it go back in the end zone. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Now, what's interesting here, just doing a little research before the show, I came across your Wikipedia page, and it says on there you're the all-time leading receiver in the history of the UFL. Is that still accurate? I'm not sure how long ago that was.
Yeah, that's still accurate. UFL was up for 4 years, from 2009 to 2013. And I had a chance to play with some great quarterbacks and head coach by Coach Fossil. Jim Fossil was with the New York Giants. He's a great X and O guy, great guru, offensive coordinator, offensive guru. That is accurate. That's still accurate as just to date.
That is really cool. Now, what I want to know is, as a player with experience in so many leagues, I mean, you played in the NFL, the UFL, the Canadian League, the Arena League. I know there's been some talk about the NFL creating kind of like a league-sanctioned minor league or developmental league. What's your opinion on that topic?
I think it's well needed. It's well needed. You have the Arena Football League, which is the thing about the NFL is that the game is so unique. You know, It's 11 on 11, where arenas, you know, it's 7 on 7, and Canada's 12 on 12. So the games, both of those games are different than the NFL. It's football, but it's different than the NFL. I think it would be huge for an NFL to come with a farm league, an XFL type of league, where it's played the same way, 11 on 11, but it strictly is a farm league where you're developing younger guys, maybe practice tier guys, almost like how NFL Europe was, but played here in the States. And if they can do that and maybe focus on smaller cities, maybe close to those NFL teams, I think it would be a huge thing.
Now, Andre,
almost like baseball has a farm league.
Yeah, definitely. You know, minor leagues of baseball, the D League in the NBA, things like that. I think it could be cool. But now in your post-playing career, you've been doing some cool things with Therminetics. And could you tell our audience what Therminetics is and what it's all about?
Therminetics, last year was, we'll see, but I think last year was my last year playing. So me and my father decided to actually go into business together. My father had a disease, MS, and decided to change his life. And he lost about 30 pounds, finished about 7th in a bodybuilding contest. So he's been doing his research when it comes to the fitness side of it. So he decided to open up Therminetics. He's in our lab team. But he develops clientele, an older clientele on his own. And what happened was, is I've been training kids for the last 3-4 years back home with working with Precision Sports. And I had went on and separated from Precision Sports, and I wanted to start my own youth organization. So what I'm doing, I'm also in the process of doing, is I'm starting a youth organization football team here in the West Valley area, West Phoenix Valley area. So I'm just trying to be able to touch and reach as many people as we can. We've launched a sports apparel clothing line as well. We're in the process of trying to get a facility. That way we can have all this under one roof, sports apparel line, fitness center, all in one roof. So it's going well. You know, we've been in business for about 3 or 4 months, but it's going well. It's going well. It's booming, and we expect to work with a lot of athletes down the line. We do want to compete with the Nikes and the Under Armours and that sense. So we're excited about the launch, and we will have some big things coming up in January during that Super Bowl, Pro Bowl weekend down here in Phoenix.
Well, very cool.
So full advantage.
Hopefully I'll see you down there, maybe, hoping to go down there. So is it the type of thing where you want to work with these guys who were coming out for the NFL Combine, that type of thing?
Not necessarily. I'm more dealing with youth. Okay. I'm in the ball game with. My thing was, I didn't want to be a head coach. I didn't really want to be a head coach or a coach. I wanted to foresee maybe an organization. So what I wanted to do was start a youth organization where I'm dealing with maybe anywhere from before they get to high school, 6 to 13-year-olds, that kind of sense, try to teach them football. There's a lot of guys here that I've connected with who are great youth coaches. They kind of teach the game as well. So that's kind of what my role is. I think I'm going to oversee pretty much the whole football organization. But my goal is to really reach out and touch the youth more or less in this Phoenix area. So not really high school, because I feel like at that time high school coaches kind of deal with you a little bit more. But, you know, youth. From ages, anywhere from ages 6 to 13 before you get to high school.
Very cool. Well, I wish you all the best of luck with that. Now, before we let you go, though, just final thing. Give me a season prediction for the Green Bay Packers. That's our audience here. What are the Packers going to do this year, do you think?
I think the Packers are 11-5 football team. Okay. 10-6 type of football team. I think they win their division. I think they go to Seattle. I think Seattle also repeats, so I think you'll see an NFC championship between the Seattle Seahawks and the Green Bay Packers. And, of course, that's obviously we're wishing and praying that Aaron Rodgers stays healthy. But I think he's a boat, you know. He's ignition, you know. As far as Aaron Rodgers goes, as far as the Packers will go. But I like them. I think they're playoff bound. I think they win the NFC Central. I mean, I'm sorry, the NFC North. So I'm looking at 10-6, 11-5 type of team. I don't have a Super Bowl prediction just yet. I'd like to see maybe the first three or four wins. But I like people. I think they'll do well. As long as they have Aaron Rodgers, I think they're potentially a 10-win season.
Fair enough. As long as Aaron Rodgers is healthy in the playoffs, I think the Packers have a chance, and we'll take that. So, Andre, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, and wish you the best of luck with Thermonetics.
Hey, Brian, I appreciate it, man. You guys have a...
All right. We'll see you later, Andre. Again, thank you, and take care. Andre Thurman joining us from all the way out in Arizona. You could kind of hear his cell phone kind of faded in and out a little bit, but wasn't too bad. We appreciate the time he took to talk to us here on a Friday morning. Like I said, game day. We're going to have to get this podcast out early this morning so people can listen to it before tonight's game. Third preseason game tonight. Kind of previewing this a little bit here on the show. Typically, historically, the game the starters play the most. I think, you know, Mike McCarthy has kind of even acknowledged it was a little bit different a decade ago. You used to see, maybe not even less than a decade, you used to see the starters maybe play into the third quarter. They would come out there, you know, they'd go into halftime and then come out and kind of get them ready for the regular season. Even they're not doing even that much anymore, I don't think. You know, just remember last year, Aaron Rodgers didn't play that long in the third preseason game. Yeah, I think he got the most work that game, but it was only a few series, and he ends up coming out. And I think it'll be the same. They just don't want to get these guys injured. So, I mean, Mike McCarthy has said Aaron Rodgers will play more than one series. This is definitely kind of what you consider the dress rehearsal. But I don't think these guys even play the entire first half. It still is all about, you know, the backups here more so. The second half is all theirs. And it's their domain, and it, you know, it's all about finding the guys still on the roster bubble who are going to make this team. Just kind of an interesting side story that's going to be kind of dominating probably a lot of the preseason coverage tonight. The return to Lambeau Field of a couple guys from former Green Bay Packers who were part of the Super Bowl XLV team. Just kind of interesting how Oakland has become kind of Green Bay West out there in California. Of course, former Packers executive Reggie McKenzie becoming the general manager out there. McKenzie still with the Packers through Super Bowl XLV, but since that time leaves and has an affinity for former Packers players. Of course, the most notable former Packers safety Charles Woodson out there. He's, you know, extended his career in Oakland where he began his professional career, where he was drafted. But I mean, you'll never forget the contribution Charles Woodson had in Green Bay. I don't know if they don't have him, if the Packers ever win that Super Bowl. You know, I'm just not talking about the game itself. I'm talking about the development of the program since he joined in 2006 all the way through the Super Bowl, you know, in 2011. That was kind of a momentum changer in franchise history, not unlike when Reggie White came to the Packers in free agency. I mean, I'm not going to say they're the exact same player, had the exact same impact, but you can draw some parallels there. Former Defensive Player of the Year, Charles Woodson, a great player in his own right. Also, former Packers wide receiver James Jones just signing with Oakland in free agency this past offseason. A very big contributions to the Packers Super Bowl team in XLV. Maybe not as big as Greg Jennings or Jordy Nelson at the time, but still, here's a guy who led the NFL in receiving touchdowns just in 2012. James Jones moving on, going back to his native California, looking to become the number one wide receiver out in Oakland out there. And defensive lineman C.J. Wilson, too, signing as a free agent with Oakland. Him a starter on the Packers Super Bowl team in 2011. So be interesting to see these guys. Be interesting to hear the ovation they receive. I think definitely being a preseason game, there's probably not as much vitriol for the opponent. And I'd love to see these guys get a nice round of applause. Would really be cool. They deserve it. Even though they left Green Bay, I personally hold no ill will toward them. It's as they say, it's a business, and they sometimes make business decisions. And you know, in the case of Charles Woodson, ends up getting cut from the Packers organization. He basically wasn't wanted here. And you know, to some extent, I'm not sure how much C.J. Wilson, James Jones were wanted at the time they left. Yeah, the Packers certainly might have brought him back at a certain price, but those guys going to greener pastures, as it were. We have a game here, but got to get to the news of the day, the breaking news just over the past 24 hours, not even 24 hours. Last night, Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel breaks the story. Brandon Bostic, tight end for the Green Bay Packers, has a fractured fibula and could miss the Packers season opener. McGinn says he's likely to return weeks 2 or 3, could even be longer than that. But said that with no certainty. Kind of interesting here, the severity of Bostic's injury. I think people were just kind of saying, oh, he'll be out to the start of the regular season. Now it's kind of lingering into the season a little bit, kind of scares you a little bit because, the injury that Randall Cobb had last season was a fractured fibula as well. I mean, he suffered it into the season. I think it was the month of October when Randall Cobb actually suffered his. So, I mean, to that extent, that's kind of good news for Brandon Bostic. He suffers his in August, whereas Randall Cobb suffered his in October. The chances are greater that, Brandon Bostic is going to miss less, a smaller portion of the regular season. But, Randall Cobb doesn't come back until the last week of the season, or was it? I forget, him and Aaron Rodgers there kind of came back at the same time, but did Cobb come back with 2 weeks left in the year? Anyway, he misses about 2+ months of the entire season with a fractured fibula. I have to wonder in my head, is Brandon Bostic a candidate now for the short-term injured reserve like Randall Cobb was a year ago? Brandon Bostic is not eligible for the PUP list. You have to be placed on the PUP list before training camp even starts. You can't practice at all in order to be eligible for the PUP list. Like, LaTroy Guion is the only guy who is PUP list eligible on the Packers, their entire franchise right now. So that's not an option for Bostic. But short-term injured reserve is. That would mean, however, short-term injured reserve. Remember, NFL teams only get one person per year to put on injured reserve, which means they are out for at least the first 6 games. They cannot practice. That's practice. You're out for at least the first 6 weeks of practice, and you cannot return to a game until after week 8. That is minimum. But I mean, if it ends up being the case where, as McGinn reports, he's only out two or three, you know, up to week two or week three of the regular season, you know, maybe it's just a case where the Packers carry him on the roster anyway, if they don't think it's going to be that severe. I mean, you have to have game day inactives anyway. So it really wouldn't hurt the Packers all that much to simply carry him on the roster. He's inactive for a game or two. He's inactive for the regular season opener at Seattle. But, you know, it just kind of came as a shock because I don't think people saw this coming. We know he got injured, but, you know, kind of people, I think the prevailing sentiment without knowing specifics was, oh, he'll come back for the start of the regular season. Now it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. If we think Bob McGinn's report is accurate, and kind of interesting, Brandon Bostic actually took to Twitter this morning taking offense to Bob McGinn's report. And I can't get into Brandon Bostic's mind. I don't know if he was just, you know, mad that it was Bob McGinn cited sources, anonymous sources, which Bostic pointed out, or the fact that the report he thinks is inaccurate. Brandon Bostic, his argument doesn't hold water if the report is accurate. I don't care if it's anonymous sources or not. You know, Bob McGinn has a track record of being accurate with his reports. You can say all you want about Bob McGinn's columns and opinions. They're two different things. You know, people can get wrong opinions wrong all the time, but Bob McGinn has a track record of providing accurate reports. As long as it's accurate and you know, Bostic is out for two or three weeks, I mean, I'm not sure what he's really mad about. Bostic even apparently was encountered by reporters this week, and I've seen this come from multiple beat reporters for the Packers, not just Bob McGinn, but multiple reporters asking him, you know, what, or, you know, I don't know how many asked, but there was a crowd around him, apparently a media scrum, asking him exactly, you know, what the injury is, and Bostic declined. I mean, he had the opportunity to set the record straight if he so choose. And now he didn't choose to do so, and now this report comes out. So I don't really get it. But anyway, Brandon Bostic reportedly out two or three of the regular season. And we kind of see how this is going to impact the team. It's going to have an impact tonight in that, you know, the depth at tight end is a little bit less. You're going to see all the tight ends get a little extra playing time. I mean, it's looking like Richard Rodgers, Andrew Corliss. I think those guys are locks for the 53-man roster. Richard Rodgers has played so well throughout the entire training camp and preseason. He looks comfortable out there. He looks like he knows what he's doing. He looks athletic for a big tight end. I think he's fine. Andrew Corliss is your veteran. He knows what he's doing out there. He's played in big games, big type of environments. I think he'll be fine. Now, the question is the guys further down the depth chart, Jake Stoneburner, Ryan Taylor. These guys have a big opportunity in front of them tonight, this evening, to see what they've got. The word is Jake Stoneburner has been receiving repetitions with the first string offense, at least in practice. Now, whether or not that carries over to the game tonight, I'm not really sure. Would love to see him get the chance, see how he looks out there with Aaron Rodgers in the game, maybe catch a pass or two from him. But, I mean, you know, I'm not sure how much time Jake Stoneburner is going to get with the first-string offense when you also have Richard Rodgers and Andrew Corliss there in as well. But, I mean, the second half of the game, you're looking at, you know, Stoneburner and Taylor getting very long looks. They're going to be out there. And even though they're going to be working with the likes of Matt Flynn and Scott Tolzien, it's still a very important game for them to see how much. You know, it's interesting. I see here on the live blog, Kevin Lamb on our live blog comments, not a fan of Stoneburner, did not show much last year. And I am in the same category. I was not very happy with Jake Stoneburner last year when he was up on the regular season roster. I think he led the special teams in penalties. He did nothing on offense for him, you know, rarely played on offense, but when he did, didn't do anything special. But we do, though, and I think Kevin would agree, we have to give him a second shot. You know, it was his rookie year. You know, a lot of undrafted rookies are behind the eight ball. You know, they didn't want to bring Jake Stoneburner up last season. All of a sudden, Jermichael Finley suffers a season-ending injury, and they have to bring Stoneburner up at midseason from the practice squad. You know, that's not his fault. He probably maybe wasn't ready for prime time. But I do think, you know, now is the time, entering his second year. He says he knows the offense a whole lot better. Let's see what Jake Stoneburner's got. I was not happy with his play last year, but I am liable to change my mind, change my opinion on the guy. But let's see it. Let's see it starting tonight against the Raiders. It's one of the biggest things I'm interested in seeing tonight is the tight end position and those guys getting long looks with Brandon Bostic perhaps out of the game. Well, he's definitely out of tonight's game. But, you know, we'll see how long he's out as well. And the other big thing happening yesterday that we still don't really know a whole lot about here, cornerback Casey Hayward originally dropped out of practice, mid-practice on Tuesday. Packers have off Wednesday. Didn't practice at all on Thursday. So yesterday, out of action, and you kind of worried. You know, head coach Mike McCarthy was asked after Tuesday's practice about Casey Hayward, and he didn't say much. He just said, I held him out, just being smart with him because of his injury history. That makes you think, you know, Mike McCarthy's comments kind of, you know, just kind of made you think, oh, they kept him out as a precaution. But, you know, seeing as he was out on Thursday as well, you kind of wonder, is there more than meets the eye here? Did he aggravate the hamstring injury? And I don't know. Mike McCarthy never specifically said that. And I don't know if it's he just wanted to avoid the topic or not. But, you know, seeing whether Casey Hayward, you know, plays tonight will be telling, most definitely. So that is something worth keeping an eye on, whether it just simply was precautionary. And maybe that would be the smart thing to do with Casey Hayward, you know, knowing his injury history, you know, just say, oh, okay, you get a day off or two from practice. And if he's out there tonight, great. You know, no harm, no foul, really. If he misses a couple preseason training camp practices, that's hardly the end of the world for a guy who's now in his third season in the NFL. But I don't know. There's reason for me to believe this. There might be more than meets the eye with Casey Hayward. And you know, if he is out, be interesting to see how that impacts the Green Bay Packers secondary. That's a, you know, probably maybe one of the biggest things I'm watching on the defensive side of the football. And particularly what the Packers do with their nickel and dime packages, because they've been doing a lot of experimenting this preseason with all sorts of players, regardless of if you know, Casey Hayward's been healthy and in there or not. They've been doing a lot of experimenting. Tremont Williams has gotten a lot of time as a slot cornerback in the nickel packages this year. I think we've talked about this before on Railbird Central. I'm not a fan of seeing Tremont Williams in the slot. It's great that he has that flexibility that he could do it in a pinch or an emergency. But, I mean, if Casey Hayward is healthy, if Micah Hyde is healthy, I even think Jarrett Bush is a better slot cornerback than Tremont Williams. I would like to see all those guys out there and see what they've got. But, I mean, Tremont Williams, I like him on the perimeter. Just keep him out there. You know, but it's all been in an effort, I think, to get Devon House some more playing time, because Devon House is kind of a perimeter cornerback as well. And you know, how is this going to affect the young guys on the roster? Jamal Rule's been seeing time at the slot. Ryan White's been seeing some time at the slot. And those guys have looked good, those young guys. Dimitri Goodson fighting for a spot on the roster, the sixth-round draft choice out of Baylor. You know, all these things, kind of ripple effects from the Casey Hayward injury here. So definitely some interesting situations going on in the Packers secondary, the cornerback position, and their personnel and their nickel and dime packages, all worth paying attention to Friday evening as the Packers take on the Oakland Raiders this evening, 7 o'clock p.m. It's nationally televised on CBS. Phil Simms and Jim Nantz will have the call, so no matter where you are in the United States of America, you'll be able to see it. Except I think there, as Aaron Nagler pointed out on Twitter, New York City might be having some issues with CBS carrier coverage there. You might not be able to see it, or I don't know, is it just on a certain carrier, such as Charter or whatever? I'm not sure exactly what the details are, but most anywhere nationwide, you'll be able to watch tonight's Packers game. But so enjoy it, folks. Third preseason game, you'll be able to see the starters the most, not the whole game, but the most of all the entire preseason. And important because cuts are coming down to 75 players by Tuesday at the latest. They can cut players before then if they want to, but Tuesday is the deadline for the Green Bay Packers. But anyway, folks, we'll see you later. No Railbird Central on Monday. I will be at training camp practice reporting live from there. So I apologize. You're going to have no show on Monday, but in return, I hope to bring you some live reporting, so make sure to check out the blog, and I'll have something there for you to help make up for it, as it were. But thank you to Andre Thurman, former Packers wide receiver, for joining us on the show today. Appreciate him taking the time to talk to us. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, on behalf of Alex Talich, I'm Brian Caravu. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Song in My Head by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack Go.